In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Welcome back to part two of our two-part series on gratitudes and resiliency. We hope that you've enjoyed the first part. As we navigate through the second part, we're going to share some personal stories and insights in terms of how we have utilized gratitudes to help us through life's adversities, to help us in being more resilient. To start us off, Pam's going to share her own personal story. Enjoy. Well, Pam, you actually are in that place right now, right? Well, I guess navigating through it. Not that no one wants to be there with you. We were all there with you.
Nobody wants to be here with me.
Exactly. Well, we're here. So whether you want us here or not, we're here. But you opened up and you shared with all of us really the chapter that you were in with your best friend, Copper. And since the recording of that episode, things have changed. So when we talk about like finding things to be grateful for, or even gratitudes in terms of it helping or navigating through and leading to resiliency, you're there right now. Yeah. Kind of fill us in. Where are you?
What's happening? I'm going to try to do this without crying, but our episode, we recorded that about a week and a half ago, and it aired on Thursday, and today is a Sunday. And so yesterday we had to make that tough decision to say goodbye. And so I am in the depths of it right now. And so here are the things that I'm doing. The first thing I did, I told everyone I was journaling about things. And so I have been doing that feverishly, journaling, coming up, just trying to remember every memory that I have of Copper, from the hilarious ones to the ones where I was like, oh my gosh, you just ate my fifth comforter. Are you kidding right now? So those things. And I've got his basket of toys still sitting on my stairs. I've got his water dish still in my kitchen. I'm not ready for that quite yet. But I shared with you that Copper was my running buddy and my walking buddy. And so we had a specific path that we walked almost every day. And the last month of his life, he couldn't do that anymore. So it got to the point where we could walk around the block. And our last walk together was just around our house. So it just kept getting smaller and smaller. So we couldn't do that thing that we loved. And so today was my first day without him. And so I'm like, okay, well, to honor him, I'm going to do our walk. It's about a 4-mile walk. And so I went, and what was so interesting, I saw myself fall back into my old habits of, all right, I'm just going to fast walk. I'm going to get through this walk because I'm doing it for the exercise. But then I just remembered every tree, every bush that had to be sniffed and peed on. We had to slow down our walks because he was taking the time to smell the roses. And so today, I took a lot longer to walk the walk that I normally would do very quickly by myself so that I could appreciate and be grateful for those moments that I have as a memory.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that. That's huge. And I'm so sorry for your loss. And I thank you for sharing all of the photos of Copper as well. You put a beautiful compilation of photos and videos of Copper out there. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so Copper. Like you could see his personality in so many of those pictures.
Totally. Yes.
Oh my gosh. But like when you talk about like just slowing down and pacing yourself, like our pets, when we talk about gratitude, they find gratitude in everything, right? Everything. And that's just kind of their, that's their only MO. They can only operate from a place of gratitude for absolutely everything, right? Yeah. Even the comforter. They love the comforter so much, they have to eat it. Like, I love it so much. I'm going to eat it.
This is the best comforter ever, Mom. Thank you.
Exactly. Yes. But it's a nice reminder for us when we are, right? Like, we go through, do we need to walk the dog? And then you check the box, or are we going to walk the dog and be in that moment with the dog, right? So you gave yourself that time today to, it's not a check the box. This is something that you two got to experience together many, many times before he became ill. And going back to that place and finding gratitude in all of it, all 4 miles.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's going back to that mindset versus heart set. It's easy to talk through. It was like, it was his time. He was ready to go. He was in pain. He wasn't the same dog that he was before. It wasn't fair. Easy to talk yourself through that. Did not make it any easier to say goodbye. And so, you know, I'm in this place of my heart set. I'm letting myself feel the sadness, but overwhelmed with gratitude of all of the memories.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. Well, we are sad to hear about the passing of Copper, but I'm so happy to hear that you and your family and loved ones were able to come together and celebrate all of the joy and happiness that Copper brought into everyone's lives.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So let's talk. So now we're going to flip it because I got to get off this roof and let's talk about, because we've also, both of us have also gone through things where gratitude has helped us through other challenges. So what are some things that you have found that gratitude has helped you through specifically?
Yeah. Well, you know what? One big thing, we talk about gratitude with our personal lives, and I want to just remind the folks that are listening, when you're looking at gratitude, it's like this is something that you're incorporating in every aspect of your life.
Yes.
Well, that was very direct. We invite you to incorporate it into every aspect of your life. That's something that I do. But looking at it from a leadership perspective, that's something that I found just a few years ago to be really powerful for me, is finding gratitude from the stance of being a leader. So whatever situation, leading a group, leading a team, leading an organization, you're going to have different personality styles that you're working with. You're going to have different philosophies in terms of how people work and operate that you're going to have to navigate through and lead. And so when I found myself in challenging or difficult situations with individuals that may not have the same personality type as me, for those that follow any type of personality assessment, I'm a power party personality, or a DI. I think I'm an ID actually, ID. So when we're looking at the other sections of the quadrant, when working with those individuals, it forces me to slow down. And oftentimes it's harder for me to slow down because my natural is to make decisions fairly quickly. I make the decision and I move on. And I'm not sure why we're still talking about it.
Yes.
And so for the individuals that need to process a little bit longer, I have found it to be tremendously helpful to find and identify the things that I'm grateful for in those individuals. Those are the individuals that are going to pay attention to every detail and make sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted. And I find gratitude in those things instead of it becoming a challenge of, gosh, it is so hard to work with insert this person because they are so meticulous with all of the detail and I just want to move on.
Yeah.
Putting that into perspective when you're working in a leadership capacity is huge. So I have found that, and that goes beyond my morning gratitude journaling. When I find myself entering into conversations where I feel it's going to be tense or there may be any level of frustration, I take a moment, I pause, find some things that I'm grateful for in that person. So that other person as a human, how they show up, finding gratitude and beauty in that person, and then entering into the conversation. And it has made conversations that much easier. It has given me, I think, a greater bandwidth in terms of my ability to lead different personality styles, different individuals from different walks of life. That has been really, really impactful for me from a business standpoint.
I love it. I love that. It kind of reminds me, and I don't remember what this came from, but it had to do with when we're going to take a class or go to a meeting that we're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to this meeting. I've had 400 meetings this week. I don't want to sit in this class for 4 hours, but I have to take it. Is going into it with that mindset of what is one thing I can learn from this class today can completely change our mindset going into a class rather than I really could be doing 50,000 and other things today. But I think too, with people, whether you're in a leadership position, whether you're a parent, whether you're a friend, whether you're in a relationship, it's what is one new thing I can appreciate about this person or even learn about this person today from a place of gratitude, I think it can dramatically change the relationship with somebody and just really by starting with our mindset. So
absolutely. Absolutely. When you bring gratitude into the room, into the equation, into the conversation, even if you're not sharing it with the individual, because in most cases we're not, right? No. It's not a, gosh, I've got to talk to Pam. She frustrates the heck out of me. Let me find the thing I'm grateful for and tell her. No. We're not doing that, right?
Yeah.
So even when you bring it into that space, just like when you are reciting or practicing gratitudes with yourself, you can't have that negative chatter when you're in a place of gratitude. The same is true when you're having a conversation with someone else. You can't go to that negative space of, this is one of my pet peeves. That's gone because I really appreciate what this person is bringing to the table, X, Y, and Z, right? And here are the benefits to us and how we're going to be bigger, better, stronger, what have you, as a result of the partnership that we are able to have, right? That open communication, the respect, all of that that comes with it.
I love that. I love that. I will share two pretty dramatic places in my life where gratitude has helped me through a significant challenge. And I know I've shared it before, so I won't spend a ton of time on it. One was when I was going through my divorce. That's a very easy place to be very negative and just get to that almost like that victim mindset. And then just be wanting to kind of throw daggers at the other person. I went in with a place of gratitude. So I was doing those three gratitudes a day to that point where I don't remember how many days in it was, then I was grateful for my husband, soon to be ex-husband. And when I thought of that, I was like, it just opened up this whole thing because I'm like, if I hadn't been in that kind of relationship, not only would I not have my kids, but I wouldn't be the independent, strong, driven person that I am today because I am not the same person I was when I got married.
Right.
Because of that relationship, I am who I am today. If I can focus on that, that lets everything else go and it allows me to forgive and to hold no resentment or anything, just deep gratitude for that opportunity. And so that was a big one in my life.
Well, and I remember that was like a big turn that you had taken. And I remember you taking that turn because we chatted about that. At that time, I think we were doing accountability on a weekly basis, if I'm not mistaken. And you were like, hey, this is the space that I'm in right now. And it completely shifts the dynamic in terms of how you approached conversations with your ex-husband at that point. I mean, at that time, still husband, but then soon to be ex-husband, the conversations that you had, how you even look at parenting because you're still co-parenting together, the discussion around the children, all of that started to shift the moment that you found gratitude for everything that brought you to that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then the other significant one, and I have shared this one before, is when I got diagnosed with cancer. And I remember you were the first call I made. And it was hard because I'd already been doing the gratitudes for a while. I went into that place of, what in this moment can I be grateful for? Because there was a lot I didn't have control over. I mean, I have no control over anything other than what my mindset is going to be. And so I focused on what can I find that I'm grateful for? And to me, it was a gratitude for almost like the wake up call for it to say, hold on a minute here. You need to stop and you need to start being present in your life because up to this point, you've been real busy, but you've not been present. Because it made me ask myself, have I been present for my kids, for my clients, for my friends? And I couldn't answer yes to all of those. And so I needed to start showing up and being present to things and slowing down. And so for me, that cancer was that wake-up call. And so I tell people, don't wait until you get the phone call I got. Start living in the moment now. And so that was my message to share to people is that like, don't wait for that call. Like start showing, ask yourself the question, are you truly showing up every day 100% or are you sitting here thinking about 4,000 other things that you should be doing and not being present? Because most of us, I would guess, are not fully present where they're at.
No, absolutely not. No. I mean, when you truly think about it, like if you are looking at life from a completely different lens, right? If it's a big life-changing event that approaches you, you often take those moments to say, oh gosh, I've taken these things for granted, or I might not have even taken opportunities because I've put them off to quote unquote later in life or a different chapter, or eventually I'll get to that. Mm-hmm. And you realize, you start to reprioritize what are the things that are so important to you and then investing in that. The other piece that I think was really just beautiful to watch in terms of your journey through your cancer treatment was that it wasn't just gratitude for where you were and what was happening and having that new appreciation for things in your life, but you were truly like grateful for the physicians, the advancement in treatment, insurance, like what was covered. Like it was, you found gratitude in absolutely everything, and nothing really like bogged you down during the process. Even if it was not the news you wanted to hear, you still just continued to move through and thought, okay, this is what the next, the next step looks like then.
Yeah. And there has been research done that shows that people that are going through physical health issues, that gratitude can actually help speed up their recovery. And I will tell you, I would show up for my, I would have to do usually 3 doctor's appointments a week. I would show up to these appointments. They're like, gosh, we've never seen anybody recover as quickly as you. And it wasn't like I was sitting with my feet up. I mean, I was still staying busy. I was still working. I was still doing stuff. But the gratitude mindset really helped my body be able to focus on. There's an amazing gentleman. He's unfortunately no longer with us. His name is Trevor Moab. He wrote the book, It Takes What It Takes. And he said in his book, negative thoughts are 4 to 7 times stronger than positive thoughts. That's a huge 4 to 7 times stronger. So if I say one negative thing, it's going to outweigh one positive thing 4 to 7 times. That's scary when you think about that. So I can see when somebody's going through cancer or whatever health issues, if you're thinking about negative stuff, that's going to impact your physical health. It's just, it has to.
Absolutely will. Yeah. Yeah. And if you know anyone that's in that chapter in life, I think the biggest gift that you can probably give them is what we just shared before, reaching out to those individuals and letting them know what you're grateful for them. Not because it's coming from a place of scarcity or your fear of losing them, but just starting to feed their gratitude bucket so they can feed themselves, right? They're probably in a space where they don't even know how to start feeding themselves with gratitude. So just reach out to them and let them know the things that you're grateful for. It probably will help them tremendously as they're navigating through.
Absolutely.
Like and I adversity.
Absolutely. And I will share something with, this is so interesting. So my ex-husband, he is one of 11 and he has 6 sisters. We were together for over 20 years. His sisters became my sisters. When we went through the divorce, that was it. I was completely out of their lives. And it's been 8 years now. I know this because Copper was 8. I got him right when I went through my divorce. And so I recently found out that one of his sisters, who I was very close with, got diagnosed with ovarian cancer and had to have a very major surgery. She's going to be going through chemo. I didn't have anybody's numbers anymore. So I reached out to my ex and said, I've done this. Can I get her number? Because I'd like to reach out. My old self would have been like, I'm not reaching out to her. She totally cut me out of her life. But no, it was like, you know, I've been there. I've done this. I'm reaching out. And it took him about a month and he finally gave me the number. And then I reached out to her and now we've reconnected and it was like nothing happened. And she didn't know I had gone through cancer and she's coming down next week for a treatment and we're going to get together. So there's power in gratitude, allowing you to let go of some of the old stuff that holding on to it does nothing for you. Like I said, 4 to 7 times more powerful. So if I had negative feelings towards her because of what happened after the divorce, that's way more detrimental to me than it would be to me to reach out to her in a positive way.
Absolutely. And I think it also, it kind of combats the narrative that we often just create, right? It's like, and like, not that you had created any other story. It was just a, oh, well, we're no longer sisters because I'm no longer married to your brother, right? And so that was kind of the narrative that went through your head. As a person, as a human, you had respect and appreciation and love for this person, and you can and still provide that guidance and support that she needs in a huge time in her life, which I think is huge. We all have those opportunities. Yes. But once you slide yourself into that place of gratitude, that narrative starts to just deteriorate.
Yes, 100%. It just melts away and it doesn't matter. It feels very insignificant. And that's the powder. So let's talk about challenges with cultivating gratitude, because I think it's easy to say, oh, I'm grateful for this and I'm grateful for that. But there are some challenges that we face. So what are some challenges with cultivating gratitude?
Yes. Well, you talked about the statistic that Trevor mentioned, right? So a negative comment is has 4 to 7 times more impact than a positive. Yes. We have the tendency of going into that negative mindset, though, that negative bias that we have. Like if we look at a situation, we start to get that inner critic, the voice in the back of our head that will continue to just tell us all of the other negative things, right? So how often do we enter into we have life happen, and then we go down that path that is like, well, if that just happened, then that means that X, Y, and Z are also possible and more than likely going to happen as well. Or on one of our earlier episodes, we were programmed at, for whatever reason, at a very early age, that if something negative happens to you, there's probably going to be 2 more negative things that are going to happen to you.
Yes,
happens in 3, right?
Those 3 things.
So that negativity bias is what they call it, right? So it's like this negative chatter and talk that continues to pop up in the back of our brain. And ironically, like recently, I just saw a snippet of an interview that Lewis Howes conducted with a gentleman, and I'm going to have to go and find his name, but the gentleman posed the question, is it more important to have more positive thoughts or is it more important to have less negative thoughts? Yeah. And the outcome of that, I sat with the question for a little bit, and my answer was, less negative thoughts is what you need to have, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he concluded as well. He's done more than 20 years of research in terms of positive and negative thoughts and how it impacts your habits and your behavior. And he said, the moment that you're able to reduce the number of negative thoughts you have, the more you're able to silence that chatter, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not, I'm going to think of more things to be grateful for, but still have the negative thoughts because of that ratio that you just mentioned. When you're like a 1 to 7 ratio, you can think as many positive things as you want. If you have one negative thought, it cancels everything out.
100%. 100%.
So doing things to eliminate that negative chatter, those negative, like getting into that negative cycle that we often spin into. And it may not necessarily just be your own thoughts. Oftentimes it's the people around you that start to feed them to you. So you want to be careful of who your tribe is.
Yes.
And it could be your own narrative that you've created that may not necessarily be truth, right? Like you've created the story in your mind and it's definitely built in a negative space or in that negative thought space. And so making that shift, coming back around and realizing, let me find the things that I can be grateful for with whatever adversity is coming my way. And again, not from a place of rainbows and daisies. I mean, you've got to find, like, dig deep and pull out the things that you're grateful for. Like I would not be here today if it weren't for, like you mentioned, if it weren't for the divorce that you went through. I wouldn't be the person that I am for my kids, the example and role model that I am for my kids. When you say those things, like those, that's when you're digging deeper for that sense of gratitude. That's level you've got to dive into.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Something I also want to kind of talk about is, and we've talked about this a bit, this is not about just being Pollyanna and ignoring when those tough things happen. It's about having that balance between recognizing that, you know what, this sucks. It sucks that Copper's gone, but what can I find that I'm grateful for? And what I'm grateful for is 8 years of companionship, 8 years of memories. And that's what I hang on to. And so it's going from that mindset to the heart set again. And so I think that's important. We're not telling people to just be Pollyanna and everything's wonderful. Like that just happened and it sucks, but it's fine. No, it does suck, and recognize that it sucks and be in that emotion and feel that suck.
Exactly.
But then get yourself out of it by finding what are you grateful for in that moment. So I think that's a big one, because I think we can get in that trap. And I do want to go back to what you said about the tribe, because I think that is so, so important. A couple of things that I did right away was I got rid of cable TV. Every time I turned on the news or whatever, it was negative. And it doesn't matter which way you go. It doesn't matter what your brain will seek out the things that validate what you believe.
Exactly.
So if you believe something negative about a certain type of person, a certain type of politics, whatever, you will seek it out and it will just validate. And then you will drop down into that spiral. And if it's 4 to 7 times stronger than positive, holy cow, that's going to be huge. The other thing I did is, like you said, I've limited negative people in my world. Now, with people that were friends or coworkers or colleagues, whatever, those people you can remove from your life. You can do, I think Mel Robbins calls it a friend cleanse. So you can do that. But you might have people in your family that tend to be negative. They look for the doom and gloom in everything. Those people you obviously can't excuse from your life. You can't cleanse them. But what you can do is limit your exposure to it. And anytime you're with them and they start going down that negative rabbit hole, you pull them or redirect them, just like little kids. You just redirect them to something else.
Exactly.
That's so important.
Or just setting boundaries, right? Like if you know that you have a family member that you have a difference of opinion on any big hot topic item, maybe just setting those boundaries of, you know, I really enjoy spending time with you, but our time is best spent if we don't talk about politics, healthcare, whatever it may be. And then just and setting those boundaries because you know that their opinions, if it goes into a negative space, not because you don't want to hear their opinions, only if it's going into that negative space, you can really set those boundaries to control that and preserve that relationship. It's much easier, I think, to set the boundary than to try to cleanse the family members. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
That's not as easy.
No, it isn't. I think one of the other things that we have to do if we want to be in this place of gratitude is we've got to be intentional about it. We've got to set specific time throughout your day to be grateful. So if you find yourself in this negative space, you've got to, so you and I, morning routines, it starts out with affirmations, gratitudes, vision statement. It's the same thing, rinse and repeat. It's every single day. Throughout my day, when I go on my walks, it's what am I grateful for? It's at the end of the day, what am I grateful for that happened today? It's got to be something that's scheduled or it's not going to happen because guess what? We're all busy and we won't do it. We just won't do it. And so a good way to start might be to have that accountability partner where it's, hey, send me your gratitudes in the morning. Send me what you're grateful for at night before you go to bed until it does become a habit. And then it's just second nature to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And find someone that you can trust with that as well. Like the things that you're grateful for, or even like if you're jotting them down, I have a client that will actually, she writes them out daily in a journal. And she sends me a screenshot or she takes a photo of it as the accountability piece so that she doesn't skip a day. You don't want to break that chain. Like the more you do it, when you're looking at just finding three things that you're grateful for every day for 21 days, just try it. Just try it. That's what I'm going to say.
Try it.
Just try that and then see how your life changes or shifts or the people in your life start to shift or change and then go from there. But just try it is what my invitation to everyone.
Yes. I totally agree. And I always love when people are like, well, can I take off Saturday and Sunday? I'm like, okay, well, let's think about that. So we just aren't going to be grateful twice a week. That's like, here's what happens if we're going to not be grateful twice a week. And that day is just the day that we're going to be negative.
Exactly.
Well, 4 to 7 times more powerful, then you just undid everything.
Everything. You just did a 5 days worth of, you did 5 days worth of work. Yes.
So it's in a row. It's 21 days in a row. And if you don't have time to write it, say it. Whatever it is, so that you're getting into that place where this is just a habit. And what will happen is you will see this switch where it's just automatic. You don't even think about it anymore. Whereas before, you might have just automatically gone to the negative thoughts. Now what will happen? You'll just automatically go to the positive thoughts. You'll be like, why am I so friendly now? And the people will start pointing it out. God, you're always in such a great mood. You're always so positive. You always have great energy. I was like, it's a conceited effort. Like I work at being grateful every single day that so I can show up with gratitude in my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and when you take that approach or you start to question, gosh, I think I'm going to take off on the weekends or I'm not going to do Saturday and Sunday. That's when you're thinking about the gratitudes from a standpoint of being a task, right? Like it's check the box. I did it. I was grateful. Yes. You're in the wrong space, right? It's not, you don't want to just say, I did it and check the box. You want it to be part of your lifestyle, right? Like, you're not going to get up and say, I don't think I'm going to eat on Saturday and Sunday, or I don't think I'm going to brush my teeth on Saturday and Sunday, or, you know, skip 2 days of eating or brush my teeth. You're going to continue doing these things because it's part of your lifestyle. It's what you do on a daily, weekly basis. Yes. Consider gratitudes to be the exact same. Consider them to be the same. Having grace with yourself in that. So even if you're taking us up on the challenge of doing it for the next 21 days or longer, I would say have grace for yourself. So if you happen to miss a day or you forget to do it, you can still do it at any other time throughout the day. It doesn't have to be as regimented as Pam and I are, or it just happens first thing. Or if you need to incorporate it in a different way. So maybe you don't write them out, but you pull out three gratitudes out of your gratitude jar, or you add three gratitudes to your gratitude jar, or you start to recite gratitudes during your walk. Find a way to continue to be in a place of gratitude and have grace with yourself if it doesn't, quote unquote, look the way you thought that it needed to look.
I love it. And I think that this can become a tool for us when we are feeling overwhelmed or stressed with a specific thing that's happening. So for me, last night, saying goodbye, I was devastated. I felt like somebody punched me in the heart. So today it was, okay, I know that this is hard, but I got to do the gratitudes. So I had to put myself in a place of, I know that this is going to help me, so I have to do it. So sometimes you have to, even if it is a habit, sometimes you have to pull it out, but find it as a tool for yourself. So if you're going through your day and you're in a moment where you're feeling stressful, you're getting bombarded with negative stuff around you, do that activity, the five senses that we talked about from Robin Sharma on an earlier episode on just sit present. What are five things that you see? What are four things that you can listen? What are three things that you can touch? What are two things you can smell? And what's one thing that you can taste? So that it just gets you grounded into this moment. Because oftentimes when we have to look for five things that we see, things that we can touch, smell,
hear, taste,
we're looking for stuff that we're grateful. We're seeing things that we're like, wow, I didn't even notice the blue sky today. Exactly. I didn't even notice how green the leaves are next to the green sky. That's two things that I just saw that put me in the state of gratitude. And so I think that if nothing else and you leave here today, put this in your tool belt as a way to help you find resilience when you're going through something stressful or hard in your world.
I think that's beautiful. I love that. That's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right? That's an easy one to remember. You stick it in your tool belt, especially if you're in a high stressful situation or in an environment that might be high stressful, because that's something that you can do without saying a word. Right? Yeah. Even if you're in a boardroom, you can sit in the boardroom, sit around the room. What are five things that you can see that you're grateful for? Four things that you can hear that you're grateful for? What can you smell? What can you... Tasting something might be harder. Stick a mint in your mouth and taste it, right? So maybe that, or take a sip of coffee, but you can still find something that you're grateful for. There are many of days that I'm grateful for coffee and everyone around me is as well. And so, I love that, Pam. I love that. I think the one other piece, and we touched on this, when we're looking at truly practicing gratitudes, is not forgetting to practice gratitudes with other people, right? So call someone, reach out to someone, and just let them know a reason that you're grateful for them, at just why they're in your lives, or why they're in your life, or you're in each other's lives. Just sharing that, sharing gratitudes with others, because it, like we mentioned before, will have that continuous ripple effect throughout not just your tribe, but everyone else's tribe along the way as well.
I love it. And you know what? You could even go on your social media and do a 30-day challenge and just say, I'm going to do a 30-day challenge. I'm going to share three gratitudes every day for the next 30 days. Join me. And the ripple, I've seen people do this on Facebook, and the ripple effect is so powerful. So even if you don't want to commit to three, do one, put it out there. Talk about accountability. If you're throwing it out there, that's going to hold you accountable, because you're like, oh my gosh. It's funny, because I did that during the pandemic when everybody was working from home and we weren't in the office together. I committed to doing a positive quote every day. I ended up doing that for an entire year, 365 days. Didn't matter if I was on vacation, didn't matter what day of the week it was. And it was interesting, because when I stepped out of that position, that was what people reached out to me the most. They're like, oh my gosh, I miss your morning quotes. And it was funny, because every day I would hear from somebody totally different saying, I needed to hear that today. So with those gratitudes, sometimes people just need to hear what you're grateful for, because sometimes they might say, you know what? I'm really grateful for that too. And so I think, yeah, I would challenge all of you to do that.
I love it. I love that. Fabulous. Well, Pam, thank you. Thank you for discussing gratitudes with us. I think this was great. And even more so, thank you for sharing the update with Copper. We are all sad, but it sounds like he had a beautiful life and made his trip over the rainbow with peace and grace, and probably Copper's bell. He's over in doggy heaven just hanging out.
Hanging out. Yes. I'm sure he walked up to the pearly gates and he shook and got everybody wet around
him. Exactly.
And probably started chewing on something that he wasn't supposed to be chewing
on. He continued to chew on blankets and pillows everywhere.
Yes. Everywhere. So I love it. Letting me share that story. And, you know, it was tough, but we said we were going to be vulnerable on this podcast because there are other people. You and I know personally people that are going through this right now. You know people that are going through this right now. It is something that is tough and never easy to go through. And so gratitudes is definitely a powerful way that it can help us through that. So thank you so much, Natalie, again, for showing up. And if our listeners, if you found this beneficial, please share it on your social media. Share your stories with us on our Facebook page. Send us personal messages if you would like us to share something as well. We're just trying to build this community bigger and bigger every day. So thank you so much.
Fabulous. We'll see you all soon. Have a good one.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it, and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.